My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Rob McCarron. I am asking the pressing questions, the hard-hitting questions, the deep philosophical questions. Rob McCarron, if you were brought into your boss's office and asked to take a pay cut for doing the same job, would you do it?
It's possible. I mean, if the other option was to make even less somewhere else, if the other option was to not have a career anymore doing what I was doing, it depends on the context, sir.
Yeah, well, apparently this week, or last week, or right before the cuts happened, quite a few WWE talents were brought into some offices and told that they needed to take some pay cuts. And apparently there was one very, pushed significantly star, I believe, or star who is significantly pushed, let's get the grammar correct there, Hawkins, who took a 50% pay cut and accepted it.
Yes, Los Angeles Knight.
Huh. Well, I don't know if it was LA Knight. There might have been others, but I'm with you. I go back and forth on this. Like, if it's me and my job, I say no, because it's the same work for half the pay and I can go somewhere else and do things. Professional wrestling is a little different.
You're not going to make as much in MLW as even what you're being offered. Well, that's part of this is why WWE is offering this, why TKO is making these cuts happen, right? Is because they know they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a power move on many parts. But I also saw somebody writing about how the guys who were taking pay cuts were scabs because it's hurting other people's negotiating power in the future. I'm like, dude, I am not here for the future. I am here for my family and my bank account. I am not here for you. And we are not all in this together in any way. And I understand that point of view, too. It's just one of those things where it's like, I'm thinking about the New Day, and the rumor is that the New Day were making like $5 million a year, and they were asked to take a significant cut. And I'm like, if I'm the New Day, and they tell me this, I already know I'm not getting a significant push probably after this in any way so that I could make that up eventually. I think I do take the 90 days as opposed to 6 months at the same pay and then eventually get cut in the next round of cuts. I think for a lot of the guys on the top tier, you should take the 90 days and take your chances.
Well, especially talents like the New Day. The New Day are in a different boat than someone like a Bo Dallas, than definitely the NXT names who hadn't started a career yet. The New Day have been around for a while. They've been making some pretty good money for the last 7 years at least, and probably longer than that, like really not necessarily top of the line money. And also there's no fucking way that Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods were making $5 million each per year. Like, that's not happening. But they sold a lot of merch. They'll do those two guys seem like they'll be really good on the independent scene slash AEW. I mean, you're going to see it all in the New Day and the Young Bucks. It's just going to happen now. You're going to see it right away. I don't know how the 90 days works out to where it can happen at All In or if it has to happen a little bit later, but you better believe that those guys are coming in for pretty big money to do at least a first year in AEW and probably even longer than that. They're in a whole different ball game than someone else. And yeah, you spent 20 years of your life if you're Kofi Kingston in WWE. Maybe it is time to do something else. Maybe this is the most money you could make still taking a pay cut in WWE, but you've made some money. Maybe you try something else and see what happens, because guys like the New Day could always come back to WWE at some point. They're not blackballed.
Yeah. I have an interesting take on New Day, quote unquote, whatever they're going to be called in AEW. I think that's the initial pop, and I think that's kind of it. I don't see them working. Like, they've been, like you said, Kofi Kingston's been in WWE for 20 years. He's not going to pop out some major super indie type of style for the Young Bucks and stuff. He's going to work that gimmick. And the other thing is, guys like even Cope and Christian didn't completely reinvent themselves when they came into AEW. They are just Edge and Christian
kind of did. Christian's a whole new character right now than he's ever been before. Edge hasn't. Adam Copeland really hasn't. Adam Copeland is the same Adam Copeland that he was when he was Edge, especially the last run as Edge. He's the same guy. There's no difference there. Christian's entirely different, but they could also work with the Young Bucks. They can also work with FTR. You're not going to do a Young Bucks style if you're coming in, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. You're going to do the same style you were doing, and guess what? It's going to work. Like, AEW isn't this all different style, like some people think it is.
Right, I know. It's just one of those things where it's like, they have turned on acts that did work, quote-unquote, WWE style. A little bit, but
people aren't turning on Kofi and Xavier Woods. People aren't turning on Austin Creed and Kofi.
Okay, I believe they're not. It's just one of those things that I think about from time to time. It's like, well, you know, where are, you know, they want the ironic video game we're supposed to have like 6 years ago and stuff. It's just one of those things where it's like, Will that team actually get over in front of an AEW audience? And I think, yeah, the nostalgia's there, but I'm just like, after the first or second time, okay, let's see.
So let me get this straight, because are you saying that the New Day are going to come in and not work? And like not work in front of that crowd? Because you would be dastardly insane if you're saying that.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm saying there might be a punch card of number of times they can work in front of that crowd and still be over. How about that?
This is the same television show that keeps putting Ricochet out in front.
That's very true.
Like, what are you talking about that the New Day won't get over it? The AEW would be begging, like the fans would be begging right now. I would be begging right now for Kofi Kingston and Austin Creed to come in and wrestle and take TV time away from the jobbers who have been getting. I couldn't
get.
That's
true, Rob. I'm going to relent that point.
A 20 minute Juice Robinson match in the year of our Lord 2026 opened up Dynamite. And I'm like, there's no way I'm watching the next 2.5 hours of the show. There's no fucking way.
I agree with you. And I think part of my reticence is, I want to see them come in and be completely different characters, but you know the audience doesn't want that too. So it's kind of one of those things. And creative is, well, what do you guys want to do? That's the other thing where you go, okay, let's see how the instincts really are, as opposed to some sort of guiding force in the company. Because it's kind of a theater camp type thing where it's like, just do what you feel.
I mean, I think what they would do on television would fit super in. Now, we don't know what that's going to be, and we don't even know if they're going to go to AEW, but I got to imagine Tony Khan can't help himself but put, like, the big free agent in front of the Young Bucks or FTR right away. So a couple of things. I wonder if, like FTR, Kofi and Austin Creed will just be NDR, like New Day Rocks, and their team name will be NDR. Or they could be the up, up, down, down. Or they could just be Austin and Kofi. We don't know. But they're going to come in very early on. They're going to wrestle the combination of either FTR or the Young Bucks, possibly both. I wouldn't be surprised if Edge and Christian versus Kofi and Austin Creed are the main event of a pay-per-view one day or one time this year. Not necessarily the last match, but like one of the big matches on a pay-per-view this year. Because Tony Khan can't help himself, but like bring these guys in and do the dream matches right up front. And honestly, I would have been stunned if you told me finally the New Day and Young Bucks were wrestling and it wasn't on WWE TV, because I feel like we've talked about on this show at some point during our 15-year straight run that we've never taken a break from, that we've talked about how that match would happen 100% and it'll happen at a WrestleMania. It'll happen on the WWE event. But yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in AEW. I would give you 99% that match will take place this year. And I just hope to God that it does not happen on a fucking collision.
Now you can take over your show again.
This is Shake Them Ropes, episode 1582. We are going to talk about Backlash that is happening this weekend. I think maybe on last week's show, I thought this show was happening on a Sunday night. I know I mentioned it to someone that, oh, it's so weird that they're doing Sunday night pay-per-views again. I was wrong. It's happening on Saturday night. So you're going to hear this most likely tomorrow, or see this show most likely tomorrow. Backlash happening from Tampa, Florida. Main event is Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu. We got some other matches on this show. Danhausen's going to wrestle on this show, if you can believe that. So I want to run through the card for Backlash, but I also want to mention that so far a new report from WrestleTix, which is a pretty amazing follow on Twitter, just to see kind of what shows are doing for both AEW and WWE and some other wrestling events. It's like the new ratings wars, because we don't have ratings for Raw anymore. We don't have ratings for a lot of the stuff that's, you know, TV wise. No, it's ticket count now. It's how many tickets have been selling. It really picked up at WrestleMania. Now we're going into Saturday night's main event and other shows as well. I know we're going to do this at All In and the big Wembley show. But right now, almost 10,000 tickets sold in Fort Wayne, Indiana for Saturday night's main event. When the arena opens, we'll probably have over 10,000 sold for this show, and it will be a sellout. But 10,000 tickets sold so far for Saturday night's main event without a main eventer or match announced. When I tell you that, Jeff, are you surprised 10,000 people have bought overpriced tickets for a Saturday night's main event in Fort Wayne, Indiana, without even knowing if Punk, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, or Cody Rhodes will be there?
10,000, yes. That shocks me. 5,000, no. But 10,000 people going in, not knowing what the card is, that's insane in this day and age. But it's hopium. I hope we get somebody that we like here.
They're clearly going to give us a big match here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I can say this because I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I can say this. I'm not going to the show. Right now, the get-in price is about $70. So if you want one of the worst seats in the house, you can get in for $70. You know, this is a town when Raw would come in, you could get in for $25. But we're a long way from those days back in the mid-2000s. I got to say, it's been a long time since there's even been a Raw. I know I went to a SmackDown there in late 2010s where Daniel Bryan wasn't a wrestler. He was the general manager. So I know I went to a SmackDown there. It wasn't very heavily attended. But yeah, Saturday night's main event. It's going to be a sellout in Fort Wayne, Indiana. No matches announced for that yet, but there are matches announced for WWE Backlash. One of them is Trick Williams versus Sami Zayn, a WWE United States Championship rematch, Jeff Hawkins. They've kind of been going back and forth, babyface heel. Trick Williams has been getting those crowd reactions. He's been hilarious on WWE TV. He is the future of WWE. He's one of these guys that can be like a Damian Priest, get one of those main events of WrestleMania coming out of nowhere. Trick Williams, Sami Zayn, what are you looking forward to about this one?
How heavy Sami goes into heeldom.
How heavy Sami goes into heeldom. I think this is the place, right, where the turn gets solidified.
Yes, it has to be. I know he's done interviews where he's like, well, I don't think I've been that much of a heel, just whatever. Okay, just do it. Let's go full in. Let me see.
It's not like this is recent either. This is the Sami Zayn character ever since the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been leaning on the heel side, and we just need, and the crowd's kind of going with it. The crowd knows what's up when Sami Zayn comes out at this point. So Sami Zayn, you have him turning heel, but do you have him winning back the championship as part of this heel turn?
You take the belt off of Trick at this point.
Okay, so how do they solidify a Sami Zayn heel turn if he doesn't do something heelish to win the championship? Is it just a situation where, okay, Trick goes his way, Sami goes his way, but Sami's going his way now as a bad guy afterwards?
I think it's just one of those things where Sami does everything despicable in the book and Trick still overcomes. I'm actually a little bit... I'm not as amazed at Sami as a heel in that so many people have taken to Trick as the baby face. That's the thing that's kind of amazing to me about this whole feud, is that Trick hasn't really changed anything in his presentation. It's just that, and you got to give credit to Booker T for this too, you know, just everything about his presentation people have taken to, and so they've just started to chant along with the song and, you know, the Lemon Pepper
which they were doing early on. Yeah, which they were doing early on, even though they're doing more now because the main audiences kind of know what it is now. A little bit of that, but a little bit of Trick Williams kind of being more of himself versus, hey, I have to go on TV and do heelish things and avoid the things the crowd might like. Like the Lash Legend shout out about getting that ass. I mean, man, you don't hear that on WWE TV these days. But it happened and the crowd was like, oh, my God. And just the stuff that makes him a likable guy, like when The Rock, I'm not trying to compare Trick Williams to The Rock right now, Steve Austin, right? When these guys became their massive over baby faces, it was because they were being a little bit more of themselves. Trick Williams, sometimes it takes new acts years and years to even learn to be themselves or know how to truly be themselves on TV. I don't think Bron Breakker's there yet, and Bron Breakker's getting over pretty big for the last year. But Trick Williams is just, he's letting out a little bit of himself on television. And I think the guy Trick Williams is going to be very, very likable.
Yeah. How about Lil Yachty siding with Sami Zayn? Maybe that's the way they do it.
Could do that. Whatever gets Lil Yachty off TV.
I agree. He's terrible.
I mean, whatever. I don't know why he's here. I haven't seen much of it because, again, I don't really watch SmackDown too heavily. SmackDown is definitely a clip show at this point for me. I will be thankful later this year when it goes back to 2 hours. Maybe that'll give me a better chance to actually watch a little bit of it. And it looks like that's going to happen around late summer. Trick Williams, Sami Zayn. I too think Trick Williams will walk out with the championship. I don't know what they're going to do heel turn wise for Sami Zayn or if that even happens. But I could also see in the future, in the near future, we get possibly Randy Orton and Sami Zayn in a program together with Randy Orton going back babyface. Because I think Randy Orton as a heel really didn't need to go past SummerSlam. Like, unless they're going to do one more match with Cody. Sorry, WrestleMania. They don't need to do another Cody Rhodes Randy Orton match. I think Randy Orton is just you look surprised. What are you thinking?
After the end of that WrestleMania match, you're just going to have Randy just go back to being a babyface like that?
Well, maybe not on night one, but kind of like the Sami Zayn. Like, eventually we see. Yeah, I'm not saying like Randy Orton comes back to TV as a babyface immediately. I think we're probably going to get another Randy Orton Cody Rhodes match, but like Cody's not in that ball game at the moment. Randy Orton hasn't been on TV since WrestleMania, right?
Right.
Yeah, so we could see something different come up here. I mean, God, we know plans have changed because half of the guys that were in SmackDown are no longer on the WWE roster. Right. So plans change. They'll do with Randy Orton what they need with Randy Orton. And it doesn't look like he's going to be on Saturday night's main event either, because we're only 3 weeks away and they really haven't, he'd just pop right back up and maybe get the Cody Rhodes match at Saturday night's main event. Who knows? Io Sky and Asuka. Io Sky and Asuka is a singles match. In theory, this is to just, finally get to what they've building for a long while, where, Asuka is just pretty much mad at Io for existing and not existing as her teammate, and trying to prove that she's still better than her young protege. Io Sky, Asuka, What say you on this one coming up at Backlash?
I think this is going to be the match of the night.
Danhausen has a match on this show, bro. How
I know. But boy, I am starting to buy into the possible one night only cameo / goodbye of Kairi Sane on this.
I
don't want it, but I think it's going to happen.
I don't, if only for the reasoning of, okay, take whatever reasoning you want. If you're one of those who believes she just wanted to go back home to Japan, yeah, this is fine. She can come for one night, go back home to Japan. If you wanted to stop any possible Kairi Sane chance, don't bring her back.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, why would you bring her back? And then also, the story doesn't need her.
No.
I mean, it needed her if she's going to be around for a while, but it doesn't need her if all she's going to do is, like, you know, slap Asuka and turn on her and walk away.
Yeah.
Like she's already not with Asuka right now. So I don't really believe the rumors that Kairi Sane's going to show up. I don't think it's necessary, but we'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened.
I agree with you, but Io Sky is winning this.
Yeah. I think Io Sky is going to win. I don't believe this is going to be match of the night, because match of the night to me is Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker. They're going to have the match that they could have had at WrestleMania. It could be a main event of this pay-per-view if you didn't have Roman Reigns on it. I'm a little confused on who possibly could win this one. I believe in my heart it's going to be Braun Breaker. But at the same time, like, I don't know if Seth Rollins is going to be more important for the summer for WWE, especially if Roman Reigns isn't going to be around in June, that maybe you want to give him a big win here. Am I completely off base thinking this is 50-50?
No, because everything in me is saying Seth's been getting his ass beat every week. He probably should win this, but that sounds stupid to me. So I have no idea, because it's like, if you watch the television, Seth's just taking spear after spear after spear after spear. So you'd think, okay, Seth gets the win, but why would you beat Braun Breaker at this point?
Yeah, I could see I mean, Braun Breaker coming back his first match back, especially with the upward trajectory that you want him to have, makes sense to do a Seth Rollins win here. We could also see some type of big schmoz, not to the point where there's a DQ, because I don't think DQs on pay-per-views are in the Triple H playbook right now. But Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker, you could have the big schmoz of everyone and give someone a fluke win. And if you were going to give a fluke win, you're going to give it to Braun Breaker. Is it too early being in May? And we have, War Games doesn't happen until November these days. That's a long way away. Is it possible we could be seeing these guys tied up together to where we eventually get Seth Rollins, the Street Profits, Joe Hendry against the Vision in a War Games match? Or is that too far away?
I think it's too far away, because you have to maintain this story for that long, and I don't think you can. The schmoz sounds, but the schmoz sounds correct with the Vision, and then Hendry and the Street Profits, and is Jonah ready to come back yet? Are we at that point?
I think we got a while for him.
Okay, because I'm trying to think. Okay, who would the Vision bring out to even up those odds then? Because it's only 3-on-4.
Yeah. Sidelining for 4 to 7 months. Like, I don't think he's going to come back until SummerSlam at the earliest.
That's the way to keep it fresh. Is when he comes back, then that adds another layer to it. But I don't think I don't think he can maintain this until November. Joe Hendry may not be on this roster in November.
Oh, well, that's a possibility, I suppose. That's a possibility. We're not going to play that game. We're not going to play who of the call-ups will flake out first. Right. Although Joe Hendry, you could be terrible, and I'm not saying Joe Hendry is, because he's not, but you could be terrible and you'll still get a year in WWE. Like, the days of Scott Steiner flaking out after 4 months are kind of over.
Jeff Cobb didn't get a year.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't an NXT call up.
True.
Like, there's a difference, I think. There's a little bit of a difference.
You're right.
I mean, he may get until April after WrestleMania next year. I mean, a number of superstars could be in that boat.
He needs to get that win against Randy.
Sure, yeah. Get the win against Randy. I am interested to see when Randy Orton comes back. I mean, part of this thought that he could just be done with Cody is the fact that he goes to Raw. Just starts working Monday nights again. Just switch. You just switch Gunther. So Randy Orton showing up and doing something with Roman Reigns or doing something with Jacob Fatu. A lot of possibilities there as we don't really have the draft anymore and we just see guys show up on different TV shows. So I am thinking that Bron Breakker will get the win on this one, but we see this program continue. We're not seeing the end of Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker on this show. It'll probably go until, very well could go until SummerSlam. I mean, SummerSlam is literally just, you got to get through June and July, and they can get through 2 months of TV relatively easily. I mean, they got through 2 months of TV, 2.5 months of TV for Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and that was the main event of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't a whole lot in the middle of that. So I could see that one going on. We're getting to the main events now, the semi-main event of the show.
We've been dreading this for a while, so let's get to it.
Danhausen and a mystery partnerhausen against The Miz and Kit Wilson in a tag team match. Jeff, who's going to be the mystery partner, and what are they doing here with The Miz and Kit versus Danhausen and TBA Housen?
I'm dreading saying this out loud.
I know you've given it a lot of thought. You texted me before this show and said the only thing I really want to talk about is the Danhausen partner. Now is your time.
You just bury me. Now is your time.
This is your time, sir.
It's going to be John Cena dressed as Danhausen, isn't it?
No, it is not.
It's not? Do you have an idea of who it's going to be? Because
it's not going to be John Cena wrestling a match.
Okay.
It's not going to be John Cena wrestling a match. Although this could all be big trolling opportunity. I mean, John Cena is promising an announcement that shocks the foundation of WWE, and him returning as Cenahausen could be facetiously that foundation shattering event. I get it.
Yes.
Because I almost don't believe there's going to be a real announcement that shatters the face of WWE. So I don't know what John Cena is coming back for. But I don't. John Cena said, and who are we to disbelieve John Cena? He's been Mr. America for the last 25 years. John Cena said he's never wrestling again. It's done. It's over. He's not coming out of retirement. I'm choosing to believe this.
Well, then let's go with a secondary question. What is the announcement? Because I thought it was just going to be, he's announcing the draft or something, or an ESPN-only show. I don't know.
Well, it's been almost like 6 weeks since we had a new era in WWE, so he could just be announcing the new era. He can be announcing the location of the next WrestleMania after Saudi Arabia. He could be announcing an April WrestleMania outside of Saudi Arabia. For all I know, he can be saying we're not actually going to Saudi Arabia. New announcement. I don't know where Backlash is in Tampa. You know, they've done a WrestleMania in Tampa, except they didn't get to because of COVID. So maybe they're trying to give Tampa back. I guess they went the next year, didn't they? They went to Tampa the next year after that, didn't they? So I don't know. I don't know what the announcement's going to be. I don't really expect a big one. I kind of expected kind of a troll job. And honestly, if you're coming at me and saying John Cena is going to be in this, find a way maybe to not even wrestle. Like maybe Cena comes out as Danhausen, but they get someone else to actually be the partner. Maybe it's Ron Cena. Maybe R-Truth comes out. I know he's a tag team champion, but he's not on the show. There could be a number of different things, but I don't know the answer. I don't know what the announcement is. I don't know who the mystery partner is going to be.
I had an inkling it might be Elton Prince, but it seems too soon after the neck fusion surgery, but there's been a lot of,
I mean, Will Ospreay came back after 2 days.
There's been a couple of articles in there where Kit Wilson's talking, well, if Elton Prince comes back, it's going to be a very different kind of relationship between the two of us, blah, 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 which just makes me scream, which just kind of screams that it might be him.
Yeah, the problem with Elton Prince is they were on TV so short as a tag team that Elton Prince would, I know it's a Danhausen match, so you can't be like, oh, the crowd will hate this. It's a Danhausen match. It's not going to be a main event. It's probably going to be the second match on the show, for all I know. But the crowd's not going to give a shit about Elton Prince coming out.
Right. Which is why I think it's Cena dressed up as Danhausen. It's Cena It's not really John Cena wrestling. It's Cenahausen wrestling. Oh,
I mean, we could see that, but I don't think he's going to do anything physical. I think the days of John Cena doing physicality in the ring are pretty much over, outside of the occasional AA, maybe.
Well, okay.
Every once in a while,
we know it's going to be something comedic. So yeah. so it has to be something that's ironic, or whatever that would make the Miz either angry or confident or something like that. I mean, you know, like Danhausen could come out and pick Maurice, and I don't really give a crap about who it is. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, he's going to pick someone.
You want to turn Randy Orton face in the first night. You have him come out. Team with Danhausen. Say, I lost my way. Just do the John Cena face turn. The crowd was right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And who better?
I think the next week would be our last episode of Shake Them Ropes if that happened. I just could not take watching this thing if it's Randy Orton as his partner.
Here's the secret. Just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Watch Raw. You know, start Raw about an hour after it's actually started. Breeze through the commercials. It becomes an hour and a half long show. Have baseball on in the background, or wait for that Dodgers game to start at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And that's how you watch Raw. And that's how you watch WWE these days. You watch Wheezy Blonde's recap and clips, and then you watch Raw on a delay. That's how you watch WWE these days.
Oh, really? Because I just watched the first 15 of Raw and then the last half hour, and then I'm good.
I tend to start Raw at 9 Eastern. Because Netflix has fixed all their bullshit where you couldn't get through the commercials and you couldn't start the show live or go back and rewatch it when it started. So Netflix has seemingly fixed Raw. So you started at 9, you go through the first segment and you just fast forward. You know, as long as you do it before the commercial starts, you can fast forward through the commercials, go back to the show. And then I end up finishing it at 10:20, 10:30, usually 10:30. This week's Raw ended at like 10:15. It was very early end for Raw, to the point where I thought, are they actually doing something after the Roman Reigns thing? Is there going to be like a fake out where something happens here? But no, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu did their segment. Show was over. It was 10:15. I was like, man, I only missed half an inning of this Dodgers game.
I like your Ron Killings pick. I think that makes sense. I could also see something where it's like he picks Little Jimmy as his tag partner and there is no partner, and he ends up beating Miz and Kit through some shenanigans and the crowd laughs and then he throws a t-shirt out into the crowd. I don't know.
Chances that God comes out of retirement for another tag team match?
I don't know. He's had some injuries.
So. I think that was Backlash, right? Was that Backlash back
yes,
in the day?
Yes, it was, I believe, yeah.
All right. And Triple H has that type of sense of humor, so could always be Godhausen. Could be showing up to wrestle The Miz. But I like the Ron Killings thing for the fact that Ron Killings, Damian Priest are kind of somewhat tied to this program of Miz and Kit Wilson with Danhausen, so why not one of them? They could all come out as Danhausens. Ron Killings, Damian Priest.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's somebody who's on the roster dressed as a Danhausen.
Yeah, I don't expect anyone new to come out here for this one. And then your main event for the World Heavyweight Championship, the big gold belt. It is Roman Reigns. It is Jacob Fatu. Your main event, Roman Reigns, in theory, is not wrestling for another month and a half, at least after this, probably not until SummerSlam. What do you got going into Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu? And how did you take that segment to close out Raw on Monday?
I like Jacob Fatu a lot. I do. I just don't see them belting him. And I see, like, again, when you said, like, when you said Seth and Braun was going to be the cast of thousands, I think this match is also going to be a cast of thousands. I think we're getting the Usos. I think maybe Solo and Tala come out.
Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre still has his hate for Jacob Fatu. Drew McIntyre could play a part in this possibly.
Yeah.
Could possibly play a part in this and move to Raw as well.
That would be a good call, I think, actually.
So, yeah, we're going to get some people, some peoples involved. LA Knight, another one who's kind of been with the Usos and involved in this. So yeah, multi-man type of, this match is going to go 20, 25 minutes probably. Again, it's a five-match show. We're back to the five-match PLEs. I don't know if anything's going to be added. We're recording this right before SmackDown, so I don't know if anything's going to be added to the PLE. But right now, it is a five-match show, and that is your main event. Roman Reigns in his hometown of Tampa, Florida, going up against Jacob Fatu.
Do you see Roman losing this belt in any way?
I don't. Not right now. I mean, especially because this whole story with the Usos, with Roman Reigns, screams to me a long title reign. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to see the Usos turning on Roman Reigns again anytime soon. Jacob Fatu might have been the right guy, but the timing's not right. And honestly, Jacob Fatu has not been getting the reactions on Raw to where I'd feel comfortable saying our main event program on Raw going forward this summer will be Jacob Fatu versus X. I don't see that. You still got some big names kind of in the punch. I know Gunther just went to SmackDown. So really, realistically, you got CM Punk maybe for SummerSlam. Seth Rollins, if he somehow beats Braun Breaker, you could always do Braun. Braun can get involved there with Roman Reigns. I just think there's more meat on the bones for Roman Reigns having the title versus being a transitional champ from CM Punk to Jacob Fatu.
Let me take a half step back. On this Danhausen match, is there a chance that Punk is the partner and this is his introduction to the SmackDown roster because we've put him into a program with Cody?
Well, yeah, if you put him in the program with Cody, I think that's what you do on SmackDown with CM Punk immediately.
Right.
You're going to turn CM Punk, who's been your main eventer the last 2 years, into a comedy character on this night?
No, but it's just, hey, the newest superstar coming to SmackDown, and it's Punk. And he comes out, go to sleep, 1, 2, 3.
No.
No. Okay.
Nah, no way. No. Ridiculous. Honestly ridiculous.
Okay.
One of the more ridiculous things you've ever said on this show.
Oh, well, I've had a lot of them.
Now, if CM Punk was in AEW, I know this is what they would do. CM Punk would come out here in the full Danhausen getup. Danhausen would wrestle this match with CM Punk. CM Punk would be a joke, and the next week he'd be in the main event program of whatever. And it would be okay, because you know what? The AEW crowd likes when people are goofy. But WWE, nah. I'm not putting CM Punk in a comedy role for this night. No, if he's going to do the Cody Rhodes thing, he's doing the Cody Rhodes thing.
Right. So, okay.
There's Fair a little enough. Bit of a difference there. Little bit of a difference there. And that is WWE Backlash. That is the pay-per-view that is happening 2 weeks before Saturday night's main event, of which there are no matches announced. And it's funny, too, because, well, Rob, you got to get through Backlash before you can even announce anything for Saturday night's main event, because, God, how does anyone know they're going to do anything at Backlash? I don't know if any of these people wrestling on Backlash will even be on Saturday night's main event.
No, you're going to get Logan Paul and Joe Hendry.
Whole new cast of characters. Probably Logan Paul, Joe Hendry, yes. And that's one of the reasons why I think maybe if they really want to, if they're dead set on those two factions being involved at War Games, is you can spread this out, because every PLE, and there aren't that many, you know, August you have SummerSlam, and then October you're going to have, I think that is when Clash of the Champions or Night of the Champions is. And then guess what? You're in November. There's not that many PLEs between now and War Games to where you have Logan Paul wrestle Joe Hendry. One PLE, you have Braun Breaker wrestle a match. Then the next PLE, you have the tag team titles defended. You don't have to have these guys wrestling in some combination every single PLE. So there's a little bit of a chance they can spread this all the way to November. I just don't know how likely it is. But yeah, Saturday Night's main event's going to have a whole new cast of characters.
Yeah, you're probably going to get like a women's intercontinental title match or a women's tag title match on there. You know, it's going to be all the programs that aren't being involved on this PLE. There's no way it's going to be anybody from this PLE, except maybe Danhausen. Danhausen may be on.
Danhausen will be on every single PLE between now and the end of time, because that has already been the case since he debuted. He is going to be on every show. Somehow they're finding ways to work him into matches. I honestly am surprised he's wrestling matches already, but such as it is. Will we ever see in WWE on Raw or SmackDown, because in NXT, who knows, or on any other type of program, on WWE main TV, Raw, SmackDown, will we ever see a serious Danhausen match where it's like literally 10 minutes of Danhausen wrestling? Like a singles match where he has to be the focal point.
I wouldn't, but I could see something where it's like he gets into a feud with like a main event guy possibly, and they like put him in Hell in a Cell where he's just getting his ass beat for like 10 minutes. I can see that.
I think it will happen, and I think it will be God when that bastard turns on him.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.